Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Michelada Monday, and it's not a real Michelada if it's not made with Modelo. Modelo Especial, brewed with the highest quality ingredients for a taste that's pure gold.
Vic, Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports Live, everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Going to Dodger Baseball, 6:37 p.m. first pitch, 5:30 p.m. Dodgers on deck, brought to you in part by Morongo Casino Spa. Just 90 minutes down the 10 to Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. I will spit that out correctly. From wherever you are, it is a Modelo Michelada Monday. We love Modelo Michelada Monday because when we want to kick back, relax, enjoy ourselves after a long, hard day of work, it's with that Modelo, brewed with the fighting spirit. Modelo Especial. Chris Clean, refreshing Modelo Especial.
Oh, I just harassed Cates so bad. You could get me fired for that, Cates. I just took a hold of his hips and just went full football player.
Oh.
Yeah,
Cates. Oh.
Take control.
I was bending
hashtag
over
Modelo
to push
USA.
The button to put Vasse on the air, and I was bent over the table.
Yeah, well, I'm Greek. There's
were,
a warning.
Yeah.
All right,
exactly.
Dave.
The home of the Dodgers.
With an inside look at the Dodgers, this is the Vasse Report with David Vasse.
Let's go deep inside with the Dodgers. He was up at Oracle. Maybe he won't have to go back. The unbelievable David Vasse, Spectrum Sportsnet LA, his awesome podcast with Andre Ethier. We talked to Ethier last hour. It was great. The Extra Innings podcast brought to you by Corona. AM 570 LA Sports and MLB Network. Nobody's better than Vasse at the real underscore DB. Brought to you by Navi and Tankless Water Heaters. Game three tonight. It's popping, Dave. How are you?
Everything's great. Yeah, I saw Andre Ethier out here. He's got his Hideo Nomo throwback sweatshirt on, and he's the media darling these days, throwing out the first pitch.
Dave, what was your takeaway after a much-needed, almost absolutely needed, mandatory win on Saturday night, watching how these Dodgers bounce back from not being able to get anything going offensively on Friday?
Yeah, going into it, we did a pregame Dodger talk, and after game one, I felt really confident the Dodgers were going to be able to score runs against Kevin Gausman, and they were able to do that. Not as many as I anticipated, but then they were able to get him out of the game and get to a very thin Giants bullpen. Being able to have that big inning in the sixth to score four runs against Dominic Leone was big, and to have Mookie Betts end what could have been a bigger inning for the Giants, throwing out Wilmer Flores at third base. So I really believe the Dodgers going into game two were in a position to even up the series, and they were able to prove that on the field. Now, the only question is tonight, which Dodger offense is going to show up? Is it the boom or the bust offense? Because they have a lot of great cumulative numbers, but if you've watched this team day in and day out, you know they've been a very inconsistent offense.
Should we take away from the three Alex Wood starts and his ERA sniffing five and his 0-2 record that they are comfortable facing Alex Wood?
Yeah, definitely. They know everything that he does, and Alex might be a little bit too emotional coming into the game tonight. I find it interesting, though, that the Dodgers have Albert Pujols hitting seventh and starting at first base, which tells me they may believe Gabe Kapler and Farhan Zaidi are trying to pull something that the Milwaukee Brewers pulled in the NLCS in 2018, where they only allow their starting pitcher to pitch one or two innings, and then all of a sudden bring in a right-hander to try to empty the Dodger bench. And that's part of the reason why I believe they have Pujols hitting seventh and not higher in case that occurs.
Well, we'll see what happens. You know, if they get Kapler, you don't want to get Kaplered, right?
Yeah, he Kaplered himself in game two, which was outstanding to watch.
Oh, God! How does one Kapler himself?
Well, he had a pinch hitter on deck in the second inning, and he pulled him back, and he was lucky enough to have Gausman keep going. And then he brought in one of his worst relievers in Zach Littell, and that basically ended the game for the Dodgers' favor. So those were just a couple of instances where Gabe Kapler Kaplered himself.
Ah, interesting.
Don't get capped by a Kapler when you sail.
How big was it to get Urias?
I know that's Urias. Guy, so I apologize.
Well, you know, fair and balanced. That's what we do here, Dave. You know, what are we to take away of Julio's light evening and what that might mean moving forward, like, say, tomorrow?
Yeah. Honestly, I believe the Dodgers have set themselves up in a really advantageous way pitching-wise, because I could see the Dodgers tomorrow starting Walker Buehler on 3 days rest and holding back Urias for a possible game five for a couple of reasons. Number one, the Giants are not very good against left-handed pitching this season. Julio's one of the elite lefties in all of baseball. And the Dodgers more than likely don't want to go back to San Francisco and play a game five at Oracle Park, where the Giants are a much better team. I could also see the Dodgers losing tonight and bringing back Buehler in a must-win situation to pitch on 3 days rest. But I really believe there's a couple of different scenarios that are extremely likely to have Walker Buehler possibly pitch tomorrow night on 3 days rest. That's my opinion, just the way I've seen things play out over the course of 19, 21 games, including the postseason. So I feel like that's a possibility.
David Vasse is our guest at @TheReal_DV, brought to you by Navi and Tankless Water Heaters, live at Dodger Stadium. Kike and Verdugo and Jock are doing what they normally used to do during the postseason for the Dodgers. Is it stupid for people to tweet, hey, the Dodgers should use these guys right now?
Yeah, you know, that's not a realistic take on Twitter or anywhere else, because Kike wanted the opportunity to play every day and not be a platoon player. And Jock Peterson, even though he wanted to come back, was getting bigger offers from other teams, and he was very fortunate to be traded from the Cubs to the Atlanta Braves. So I would say, yeah, that's an unrealistic and just a knee-jerk reaction to two really good October players doing great things in October like they did for the Dodgers.
Great stuff, Dave.
I will say this, Petro. I will say this. The Dodgers never have replaced the roles that Kike and Jock in the production they had. And I brought that up in spring training, and a lot of people dismissed it, but they never were able to replace Kike and Jock and what they did.
Beautiful.
All right, Money. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Appreciate it having me on. I'll talk to you guys later.
What?
We were told you had to go. They said, get Dave out by 4:17. Get out.
I mean, we had this Springsteen cover for him and everything. He had a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack.
Man, the playoffs are getting to that guy.
Jeez. Act like a professional, Ben Fong. All right, Matt, you're headed out to Baltimore yourself there, Natty Bone.
I am. Brandon Staley is headed on to the show next.
You got to
talk about
kids
coaching
there,
those
Jack.
Three fourth downs. Chuck, Chuck. String of pearls. Next. Hungry
back to Michelada Mondays on the Petros and Money Show. It's not a real Michelada if it's not made with Modelo. Modelo Especial, brewed with the highest quality ingredients for a taste that's pure gold.
Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports Live, everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. Ignite here in Los Angeles, and we are where you want to be. AM 570 LA Sports is your home of the Dodgers, and you can hear Dodgers baseball everywhere on the iHeart Radio app as long as you are inside the arbitrary geofence as determined by our boss, Don Martin. Tonight, game three of the NLDS, first pitch, 6:37 p.m. Max Scherzer going for the Dodgers. Old friend alert, Alex Wood for the Giants. It's brought to you in part by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Morongo, good times.
I'll tell you what, ever since you made the arbitrary geofence a part of your intro spiel, I have gotten a lot of texts over the weeks about the geofence and how it is doing people dirty. But you know who's not doing people dirty? A hire for the ages, it looks like. Everybody loves what's going on with the Chargers, and why not? They're winning games they used to lose. They're playing with confidence. They're coming back. They're taking charge of football games just like they did against very good football teams, by the way. Giving it to the Cleveland Browns. Showing them what L.A. football is all about. And sending Baker Mayfield back home with the L. The Chargers take another long and hard trip like they won in Kansas City. Got to go do it in Baltimore this week on 98.7. It's on Sunday at 10. Joining us now, the leader of the Chargers. And an inspirational man to hear from when it comes to the sport of football. And maybe even life coaching. On the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline, it is Brandon Staley, who's no stranger to kicking ass in Ohio. What's cracking, Brandon? How are you?
How are we doing, guys?
Doing great. Just give us a little idea of how gratifying that is. I mean, I know that you're your defensive guy, and you don't want to see your defense get gashed like that, but sometimes football games are like that, and to be able to come out on top of that, what does it say about your football team?
Yeah, Petros, I think you said it well, because these games in the NFL all express themselves differently, and I think the best teams in the league can win games in a lot of different ways, and you hear that a lot, and probably the reason why you hear that a lot is because it's true. And so these games kind of unpack differently. And yesterday turned into a track meet. And I felt like what we did as the game went on is we knew, you know, kind of how this game's going. And I felt like we were able to make the right adjustments on both sides of the ball and in the kicking game to give ourselves a chance to win at the end. And I think that's what we did. And I think if you looked at our sideline and if you talked to our guys today, everybody believed that we were going to win that game. And that's a big part of the National Football League is believing that you can win. And when we were down by 2 scores, we kept our composure, made some good adjustments, and then finished the game playing our best football. And that's a really good team that we just beat, and got a lot of respect for them.
Coach, a lot of people say it when they get hired, or they say it before games or to the media in the middle of the week, and then Sunday comes around and they don't do it. And that's being aggressive, particularly on fourth down. Have you always wanted to coach this way? Is this something you discovered later in your coaching career? Like, when did you come upon this idea of aggressiveness that, look, to be honest, we just don't see as much as we see with you through five games in the NFL?
Yeah, guys, I think just growing up as a coach's kid, you know, I mean, I've been around the game my whole life, and I feel like that's just how my dad always coached growing up with his basketball teams, football teams, and felt like, you know, a big part of my dad's philosophy was, you know, KYP, know your people. And I feel like we trust our people here, and we look at those situations as advantage situations for us and not as, you know, these big gambles, you know, and we look at it the other way. And I just feel like we've got guys who have earned all that trust and respect and confidence, and our guys are executing really well, and they're giving us every reason to do exactly what we've been doing, and that's on both sides of the ball. And so I feel like, we're going to continue to treat each circumstance like it has a life of its own, and I'm going to keep saying that because they're not all the same. I felt like we needed all that yesterday to finish the job.
Your offensive coordinator, Joe Lombardi, I mean, talk about a day for him. What a game plan. I mean, it just seemed like everything that you guys wanted to do, you were able to do. When he was first hired and we had a chance to talk to him for the first time in training camp, he talked about this giant menu, and Drew Brees was there too, and he echoed it. And it was kind of working with Justin Herbert, pick out what you like and let's work with that. How much of that menu are you using now? Like, how comfortable is that offense now, and how much do you guys have to work with there?
Yeah, I think we've got a fantastic coaching staff, and we got a lot of players that have really bought into our mission statement of how we want to play offensively. And I think a big part of it, as you said, it starts with the quarterback, is shaping this offense around him. What we didn't want this to be is a copy-paste job. You know, the way they operate in New Orleans, there were going to be certain elements of that, but we're here building the offense around Justin Herbert, you know, not Drew. And I felt like we surrounded Joe with an awesome coaching staff that could complement him and add to the menu that we felt like could take advantage of all of Justin's talents and the talents of everybody around him. And I think that that's what you're seeing on our offensive football team, guys, is a balanced offense. You know, there's a lot of versatility in who's in the ball distribution and then how we're playing up front on the offensive line. And I just feel like that balance is what's difficult to defend, you know, and when you truly have to respect all five people that are in the game and you have to respect the O-line and how they're playing. And so I feel like we're playing as a team, and the good news is we're just at the beginning, but we've had five really tough challenges. That team that we just played is outstanding on defense. They're a very complete defense, and I'm just very proud of the way the plan came together, and our guys had, you know, full command of the plan, and that's why they executed so well.
And, you know, all of that balance leads to the quarterback position being as productive as it is for you guys right now. When we're watching Justin Herbert in just his second year, like, what are we looking at at this point, Coach? Like, how much better can this guy get?
He's just at the beginning. I mean, there's a lot of room for him to grow. And in that game, if you talk to him, there's going to be a lot of things that he can see that he can do better. And I know that everyone knows, like, that was an incredible performance, you know, and they're witnessing something special. But there's all these little things that, you know, the more he plays, the better he's going to play. And there are little things that make the big difference for him. And I think he's really understanding how he wants to communicate to his receivers, to the O-line, and understanding our protection plan and understanding the rhythm and timing of the pass plays. And, hey, it could be something as simple on, you know, some of those ones yesterday, guys, where he kind of bought some time on third downs. Like, there's a couple ones, like, he could probably use his legs just to run that instead of, you know, airing it downfield. I think we drew a PI on one of them, but which was awesome. But, like, you know, just, hey, the more you play in some of those deny the ball man situations where you escape the pocket, hey, you know, we can use those legs for a first down, you know, and all these little things, you know, that we could be talking a long time about. But I think the big thing is, you know, like, he's just gotten so close with Shane Day, the guy, and I think Shane's doing, like, a great job coaching the guy, and I think that's bringing out the best in Justin, you know, from a fundamental standpoint and just understanding our scheme and the situational part of it. He's got an awesome quarterback room with Easton and Chase and then Joe, and I just feel like it's all coming together that way, and Justin's just such a hard worker, guys. He's going to continue to improve, and I think that's what you've seen from his first game to this game, is he's improved in every game, and we've needed it, and he was special yesterday for sure.
Coach, we always appreciate all the insight, and you've told us in the past just kind of it, and this is what's so, I think, interesting for fans to see, is it's put into practice. Some coaches can talk about it, and it doesn't get put into practice. You talk about all 53 active, the practice squad guys, how you you know, what you believe in every single one of those guys, and I think two pivotal plays a couple weeks ago, the fourth down pass to Jalen Guyton, that's where he decides to go in Kansas City, and you end up getting that win, and on a fourth and two from your own 24, it's Michael Schofield, who just gets put into the game for an injured Ode Abushi. He's the pulling guard that's got to spring that hole for Austin Ekeler to pick up that critical fourth down. If you could just speak to, you know, it's not just stars, it's an entire team, and your ability to put trust in some of the players that maybe you don't think are going to be put into those particular critical situations.
Yeah, I thought Mike's a great example of that. When we pick him up a few weeks ago, and he's really ready to play at two different positions. And when Ode went down, Ode was playing good football for us. And he, you know, I'm disappointed for Ode because he represents the toughness that we're trying to build our program with. And he was playing well for us. But Mike came in and just did an outstanding job for us in that game. And I felt like, to your point, Matt, you know, Josh Kelly had a big run yesterday. He had been inactive for a couple weeks, and JJ goes down. We get him active, and he had a couple good blitz pickups and had a, you know, a really good run on a duo play. And that's what it takes in an NFL organization, is you need everybody to contribute in a meaningful way, and you got to make sure that guys are ready and that they're, you know, that they're fully invested in what you're doing. And that's probably, as a head coach, coach, what I'm most proud about is just that we have a team that, that believes in each other, and we're kind of creating those roles for people. And, you know, we're going to try to, you know, we have to continue to do so because we're still at the beginning part of the season, and we're going to need everybody from a depth standpoint as we keep going.
How do you keep people focused and humble going going the way you guys are going, beating all these teams that everybody says these guys are the best in the NFL? They come and you beat them, and now you got to go on the road.
You know, Petros, I think what you got to do is show them the reality of the film, and I think that that's where the illusion of the NFL is in the result of winning a big game like that, where the reality of the NFL is in the film and in our fundamentals and our scheme, our situational stuff. Like, there's so much within the game yesterday that we can improve on, offense, defense, and in the kicking game. And that's what we got to strive to do, is come together to do that and make sure that our full focus is on that and not something else. And, you know, it takes guys, really good men, to do that, that are focused on the right things. And so that's what we've tried to do here. And, you know, because Baltimore's coming up this week, and, you know, we need to improve a lot because they're a really good team, and we got to go on the road to do it. So, you know, that's how we're trying to do it, Petros, and nothing fancy, just good old-fashioned hard work.
we love you, Coach Ed. Congratulations. Really fun to watch the product you guys are putting on the field. Here's hoping you keep it up on Sunday in Baltimore with all that Old Bay flying around, stinging your eyes. Have a great game.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a great day, fellas.
Yeah, that right, Natty Bo.
Drink that Natty Bo.
Come on, Natty Bo.
Drink that. The Natty Bo. Returning to the side of the Natty Bo.
The monocle, baby. Let's go. We'll be right back. There's some more Charger talk for you. We'll have a little more Doyer baseball talk. Maybe a little nostalgia for the people. And then the fun fact and the quick hits and the dead and alive on a Modelo Michelada Monday on PMS. Stay with us.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Petros and Money.
And 5 cents.
Back to Michelada Mondays on the Petros and Money Show. It's not a real Michelada if it's not made with Modelo. Modelo Especial, brewed with the highest quality ingredients for a taste that's pure gold.
Trust and Money, AM 570 LA Sports Live, everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Big thank you to Brandon Staley, last segment. Of course, if you miss it, you can always relive it through the iHeartRadio app and a podcast. Subscribe, listen to the Petros and Money Show at your leisure, or stream us in the moment if you can't find yourself near a radio. We're going to Dodger baseball tonight. Dodgers on deck at 5:30. Our first pitch at 6:37 p.m. And remember, Dodger baseball, as always, brought to you in part by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Morongo, good times.
I'll flip you out. I will flip you out.
This is the flip top story of the day.
You know, as first pitch approaches, Matt, people are really starting to freak out, and there is a lot of, and I know you can feel it there from the Inglewood, but there's a lot of, I think a lot of confusion, and we ran right into it at 2 o'clock when we started this flexed show, and that is the confusion of now that the playoffs are here.
Flex alert.
How are we going to call Casey? Like, how are we going to treat these former Dodgers? Some are enemies. Some are perhaps soon to be enemies. How are we going to handle this stuff? And you caught it right away, Matt, even though you're there in Inglewood and you're thinking about the BBC. What? And, you know, I mean, you caught it right away. Vic was all over the place about Alex Wood. He didn't have a clear mind at all.
No. He originally said Flotsam and Jetsam, and then it was old friend alert, we love Woody, and then it's like, I'm tired of hearing you talk about Georgia, and then it was, I love Georgia, because Alex was a good guy. He was a great guest. Everybody loved Alex Wood when he was here.
And now, he is the enemy, and everybody's rooting for Max Scherzer, who they used to want the Dodgers to light his tees when he was a Washington National. So, everybody is confused. There's a lot of fluidity, which is a popular word these days, and a lot of confusion. And today is the 11th, Matt, of Jocktober.
Oh. To right field. Garcia going back, looking up. It is gone! A blast! Pinch hit! Three-run home run for Jock Peterson, and the Atlanta Braves are on top, 3-0. His second pinch hit home run of this NLDS.
So, Jock did it again. Today in the game versus the Brewers, Jock, which you mentioned earlier in the show, Matt, came off the bench the second time in the fifth inning and hit a three-run home run. And it's a good time for Dodger fans because they can feel good about this right now, right?
Absolutely. Jock is grabbing ass. He's wearing those pearls. He looks completely ridiculous. Everybody's laughing. And it's the playoffs. They're all laughing and grabbing ass because he is wearing a freaking pearl necklace and blowing balls out of the park to the tune of the Braves having a 2-1 series lead. Are we going to be laughing when Jock Peterson steps in the batter's box against the Dodgers? Wearing them pearls? Looking like a fool?
No. No.
No.
Not if he blows the ball out of the park like he did just then.
But we're laughing now.
We're having a great laugh, even though it looks like he's been stung in the face by a giant hornet. And he's all puffy. And he's got the... it looks like his face is swallowing his Oakley blades. You mentioned the pearl necklace of the sea.
I mean, and they're real pearls. He's like, I'm not kidding. They are real pearls that I got from my jeweler. I mean, it looks like he's about to go to freaking Laura Ashley and buy a top.
He looks more like Tom Cruise than the real fake Tom Cruise, who was at the game the other night.
That's a good call. Was he?
Some say.
Are we sure that was Tom Cruise?
Jock,
if it was, he looks weird.
Two pinch hit home runs in the NLDS. He just is so moose shin, you know, Matt? No mind. That's
exactly
why,
right.
That's why he's so great in the playoffs. Yeah.
Hey, you either got to be really smart or really stupid. It's tough to be right in between.
Here's Jock Peterson on his hitting philosophy many years ago on the David Vasse Dodger Talk Show.
I'd love it if you could. Here's Dave's going to want to mute me. But if you could hit, maybe go for more doubles. You know, use both your speed and your power. Maybe spread the ball around the field a little bit.
Jock.
That'd be a great idea. I wish I could hit a double every time. I'm going to go for that, though.
Yeah.
That's the best answer ever.
I'm going to go for that, though.
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 So that's something to be happy about.
I'm going to go for that, though.
We'll see what happens with Alex Wood tonight. We'll see if Jocktober continues with the Dodgers.
How about Kike?
That's right, Matt. Two other Dodgers playing well in October. Alex Verdugo and Kike Hernandito with the Boston Red Sox, much to Gabby's pleasure.
Nah.
Verdugo in four postseason games so far, 7-for-19. That's a .368 average with a double, a home run, and five RBIs.
Woo!
The Keekster and his very versatile style. Kike Hernandez, a one-time participant in the PMS locker room upstairs.
Inside the locker room. Hey, that's his fiance now. Don't go staring at her boobs, okay?
No one said that. Kike in four postseason games for the Red Sox is 9-for-19, and that's a .474 average with three doubles, two jacks, and five RBIs.
And you see what he did last night? Was that last night, Cates, that he used that prodigious poots of his and just poots that ball over the fence so the Rays couldn't score the go-ahead run?
That's right.
Just pootsed it right over the fence.
Heartbreaking ground rule double. Heartbreaking. Kike, by the way, in his career has 10 postseason home runs. Jock, jock, jock. In his postseason career has 11 home runs. So while you're thinking about Alex Wood, if he's
in a... I'm going to go for that, though.
Yeah, go for it. If you're thinking about Alex Wood and that big battle that he's going to have tonight with Max Scherzer and how you used to root for Alex Wood and you loved Alex Wood and you thought he was so good last year in the postseason and you were sad to see him go to San Francisco, but you didn't think San Francisco would be worth a crap. Well, look at you now, Alex Wood taking on Max Scherzer in Game 3 of the NLDS. Everybody's freaking out. And as you said, Matt, the prodigious poots of Kike and Verdugo doing it big in Boston. So while the Dodgers have a great lineup and a lot of great players, there are some guys who have moved on that are still having success.
I'm going to go for that, though.
They're going for it.
Hey, Jock, what do you think about eschewing the gold chain and instead replacing it with a string of pearls?
I'm going to go for that, though.
Do it!
Okay. Get out there and do it.
Hey, Jock, what do you think about, like, really, really making sure that you're retaining water? I mean, really get a good puffy face going.
I'm
going
to go for that, though.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, all right. Didn't think that was going to come up.
Don't let the blades cut your cheeks. Game 3 of the NLDS. We are not far away. We got Quick Hits, Dead and Alive, Dodgers pregame, Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck, and then Tim Cates is going to take over. It's all brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Morongo, good times. First pitch, Scherzer, Wood, 6:37. All right, we'll be back with more PMS. Don't forget, we're at BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse on Thursday in Burbank. You got to come to that.